Paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with us on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Ryan Porth, how the heck are you? Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. I've been having a great morning until about 6:55 when the name Vic Beasley was mentioned on these airwaves.
Yeah,
and I was like, really? Like, that just gave me PTSD to just the worst era of Titans pass rush. Of all time.
We know how much you love Vic Beasley.
Yes, it was.
Correct.
Followed up by the best ever.
But I had taken Vic Beasley out of my mind, especially now that, you know, I'm living in Chicago, and, you know, that just brought back a whole lot of bad memories.
I'm sure it did.
And then, like, 10 minutes later, you mentioned the Cincinnati Reds in your FanDuel spot.
I did do that.
Of, like, avoid the Cincinnati Reds, which...
I mean, is that not bad? Good advice?
That's great advice.
But, how about that?
Yeah.
How about that no-hitter loss?
Hey, it's actually impressive because they are trying to lose.
That is true.
And their star rookie prodigy pitcher throws a no-hitter for 7-plus innings. So he looked great. He looked fantastic. And they still lost.
Yeah, still get the L.
It's
yeah.
very impressive.
Kind yeah. of a dub, actually.
Exactly. That is a winning Sunday in this new era of Reds baseball.
I'm a little uneasy here because your chair's way higher. You're like lording over us in here. Is this the idea? Coming
sure.
back, flex a little bit. Flex
sure.
on us with
yeah.
your Chicago,
that's
big
right.
shot Chicago stuff on us a little bit?
Yeah.
yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
I'm getting it now.
That's right. Ryan Porth, obviously of 670, The Score, was our fearless leader here on the program for a long time. Handled us on the board. Ryan Porth, we love you. We're glad to have you back here on the program. There's a lot to get to here with you today. Let's start on the Nashville Predators because we've had a lot of conversations here on the show during the last week or so about the direction of the team. There's a lot of talk about John Hines, which we can get Rex Road fired up about that again, and David Poile as well. I would assume they're going to speak at some point this week. I'm hearing maybe a little bit later in the week, but we'll see what happens on that front.
I think so.
So what did you make of the series against Colorado? Obviously, you get swept for the first time in the history of the franchise, and what did that tell you about this group and how far away they are from being competitive with the top teams in the NHL?
Told me they're very far. Just look at the other series that happened in round one. Every other series went at least six, but there were, what, five game sevens over the weekend?
Yep.
And the Colorado Avalanche have had their feet up for a week because they didn't really get challenged all that much by the Preds in that first round. I know game two went to overtime, but that felt more lucky than, you know, actual, you know, playing well and, you know, challenging them. I mean, Connor Ingram had to stand on his head, but then Ingram obviously didn't stand on his head in the two home games. The Avalanche are far superior. That's exactly what I expected to happen in that series. It's unfortunate what happened in game 82 with them blowing that lead against Arizona, because I felt like them against the Calgary Flames would have been, you know, potentially a carbon copy of what happened with the Stars.
Yeah.
And you go six or seven games there like you did with Carolina last year. But that team is very far away. And, you know, sitting back from afar watching it from Chicago, you know, I wasn't able to watch every single night. You know, Joe, I had to watch your Chicago Bulls more often than not. Mm. But
will the Bulls pull it off? They're only down 33 going into the fourth, folks.
Yeah.
Will they pull it off?
Yeah. But, like, you had two 40-goal seasons for the first time ever from Forsberg and Duchesne. You have a Norris Trophy-caliber season from Roman Josi. UC Saros nominated for the Vezina Trophy, and it never truly felt like, especially down the stretch, that this team was legitimate enough to make noise in the Western Conference. And now, like, it might all be for naught for everybody in the West because Colorado looks so good that everybody might be competing to lose to them in either the second or third round. But Preds are far away, and that was pretty evident in that first round series. And I understand the people who bring up the Saros injury as a potential factor in that, but I thought it was four or five games whether UC Saros was healthy or not, honestly.
Well, it's one of those things too that in the aftermath of it now you're saying, okay, well, what direction are they going? Because, you know, Willie got fired up about this last week, talking about the plan for the Predators in terms of there's a plan. They've gotten younger. They went from, I think, the second or third oldest team to the second or third youngest team now. So they have transitioned the roster, but what is the plan to get out of basically being stuck in the middle? They're out of the first round of the playoffs the last 4 years. They've been past the second round of the playoffs one time in the history of their franchise. And the common theme there is David Poile has been the general manager during that time as well. So, as you can imagine, there have been a lot of noise on David Poile, a lot of noise on John Hines on our show from the Preds fans. And I do wonder, like, in terms of, yes, the plan is to get younger and to have some of your young guys come up and be productive. But do you have enough young guys that are good enough and elite enough to, while you still have Josi and Duchesne, and we'll see about Forsberg, get yourself back to being a cup contender? I just don't think they do. Like, I just don't know if this core is good enough.
Well, and some of the young players, and I'm specifically thinking of Elli Tolvanen, didn't take another step this season. I think we would all agree Elli Tolvanen took a step back from what he showed for that quote-unquote long stretch of this lockout or the COVID-shortened season. I look at this team and feel like they are, for lack of a better word, kind of stuck where they are. They don't have a lot of young talent coming in that I feel like, I don't know if y'all feel differently about this, but I don't feel like they have a ton of young talent coming in that's going to make like this huge difference, especially if they don't re-sign Philip Forsberg this offseason. So I don't know if there's like this next level step that they can take. You know, that division is pretty stinking good, you know, led by Colorado. Minnesota still has a lot of good young talent. St. Louis is set up for the next few years to be pretty good. I mean, I don't know how their ceiling can be any higher going into next year unless there's a lot of change either up top or with the roster in the offseason if they start spending to the cap again and, you know, bring in, you know, some secondary scoring, legitimate secondary scoring behind Forsberg and Duchesne if they were to bring back Philip Forsberg, bring in another top four defenseman. I don't know. I look at a team that is square in the middle of mediocrity right now.
Well, okay, so what would be the ceiling? Let's say that you have to sign Forsberg. I think apart from some wild trade Duchesne or whatever, yep. Like sign Forsberg, you have all your people who performed highly this year coming back, and then you spend to the cap to get, you know, some secondary scoring. What's the ceiling, let's say, with all that, and Tolvanen bounces back big, and Fabro, oh, he's figured it out. Who else? I mean, I don't know about – I mean, Cunning is –
I'm not paying him a hard dime more than he made this year.
Yeah.
And if he's – I'm interested to see, like, I think he might go to arbitration. Like, I'm interested to see how that would go.
Probably won't go well for him.
Probably won't go well.
But and the Herd line is great again, you know, and it, you know, just builds on that and Trent and like that. So that's set. Now they have a real second line. They're stronger in the – you know, Lazan becomes at least like a good third-pairing defenseman. Saros has a great year. Let's say all the best case scenarios play out, including some names we don't know who fill out, you know, what is that team? Is that team a contender? Is that team just a, like, not the last wild card in the playoffs? Like, what's the best case scenario?
Maybe they finish top three in the Central Division. I mean, would you agree?
Yeah.
I think, like, to me, it depends on what does spending to the cap look like. Like,
right.
Are they overpaying free agents, or are they making some shrewd trades to bring in some, you know, second-line players that can come in and help complement a Forsberg or a Duchesne? And again, that's assuming that Forsberg's coming back, which I don't think any of us can assume.
No, you could go the other way with this, with the worst case,
right.
If they starting there.
Well, I just keep, right? I keep going back to, let's say all that stuff happens. You still, you're going up against Nathan MacKinnon. You're going up against Connor McDavid. You're going up against all these guys that are elite. And Yossi's elite, but nobody else is elite on this team other than Saros. Like, I think we could, you're a Vezina Trophy finalist. You can put him in the elite category. But forward-wise, you don't have those guys. As good as Forsberg is, as good as Duchesne is, you don't have those guys. And watching Nathan MacKinnon play in this series, it was like at a different speed than anything they have.
And Cale Makar.
Yeah, well, that too. That's what I keep going back to is you don't have those guys. So you can do it in different ways. We saw him do that in 2017. You don't have to have Nathan MacKinnon to get to the Stanley Cup final. But it's way harder when you don't have those guys.
Well, we do. Like, I'm looking forward to Blues Avs. I don't know about you guys. I mean, there's an example of a team that, and they are not as good in goal as the Preds at their best.
Sure.
Right? They don't have a superstar. Right? I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're not going to completely blow it up and try to find one of those guys, aren't they kind of the model?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll continue the conversation on the Preds. Welcome more of your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ryan Porth in studio for the next hour from 8 to 9. I knew we'd get that.
Oh, you really? Love that song now. Come on.
No.
Michelle likes to play it on the show.
She does.
I heard that.
I knew we'd get to that.
That was bad.
At some point, we'll continue the conversation on the Preds. Coming up next. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hey there. That's right, guys. Who wants to take a pill for the ED or, heaven forbid, the injections? If you're out there listening, maybe frustrated in the bedroom, experiencing some erectile dysfunction, Hillside Medical Clinic has helped so many men. Every week, men tell us these treatments got rid of the ED, they got rid of the pills. The acoustic wave therapy delivers pressure waves into the blood vessels, and this is clinical, by the way. It causes the blood vessels to expand. As you can imagine, more blood flow in the bedroom, that's a great thing, and getting rid of the ED without the use of chemicals.
So, Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this technology?
Well, it's pretty extensive. If you go to hillsidemedicalclinic.com, we have hundreds of pages, about 60 studies. Think of that. Outfits all over the world, colleges, universities have vetted this. This has been called the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction and is helping so many couples.
And Andrew, you've got a special offer for our listeners. Call in right now.
We really believe in delivering a lot of value. If you're struggling with ED, if you're ready to regain your love life, grab your phone, call us now. We'll set you up with the assessment, the exam, and the ultrasound. And we'll do it free. You'll also get a little freebie. This gift produces immediate results in the bedroom. You'll love it. Trust me. Worth hundreds of dollars. Call us now. It's all no charge.
That's right, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic at 615-576-5000.
You know, I'm living in Chicago, and, you know, that just brought back a whole lot of bad memories.
I'm sure it did.
And then, like, 10 minutes later, you mentioned the Cincinnati Reds in your FanDuel spot.
I did do that.
Of, like, avoid the Cincinnati Reds, which...
I mean, is that not bad? Not good advice?
That's great advice.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that no-hitter loss?
Hey, it's actually impressive because they are trying to lose.
That is true.
In this new era of Reds baseball.
I'm a little uneasy here because your chair's way higher. You're like lording over us in here. Is this the idea? Coming back, flex a little bit. Flex on us with your Chicago, shot Chicago stuff on us a little bit.
Ryan Porth coming back in, establishing his dominance here on the program. Sitting in a chair that is... Head is scraping the ceiling here on the studio right now.
I don't
now.
Feel like I'm that much higher than Joe in his chair.
Hey, quite a bit.
Okay.
We should give you – do we have Willie's jersey somewhere? We can hold that. See,
but, by the way, speaking of chairs
– turned to dust.
Speaking of chairs, have you broken any folding chairs lately?
No, but I broke Willie's –
by sliding into a chair.
Yeah. I broke the frame that was not broken by a bomb.
Correct.
But was broken by me. Sorry. Sorry again, Willie. Have we figured that out yet? I like the idea of hanging
from
it.
The rafters.
Like, what about that, Porth? Yeah. I don't know if they would do this in big time Chicago. You know, in Chicago, they do big time stuff up there.
They do.
You know, I don't know. But here, we were thinking about maybe hanging his jersey like from the rafters. Make a little, be like the Preds. Put up a banner for anything that happens, you know? 80% full for a playoff game. Banner! Just kidding. Just kidding.
By the way, did y'all ever read the text that I sent the two of you during game one of Preds Avalanche?
Probably.
That your rear end was like the Colorado Avalanche and the Nashville Predators were like the folding chair.
Yes, I did see that. Yes.
That was the equivalent of that game.
Did you use the term rear end? Like, are you a total boomer now living in Chicago?
Sure.
Okay.
I wasn't going to say other words on these airwaves.
That's right.
I say ass all the time.
Okay.
Joe Rex Rhodes ass, like the Colorado Avalanche.
That's right.
And the folding chair was like the Nashville Predators in the first period of that game.
All right. It just took a segment to go completely off the rails.
George on the text line says, "Welcome back to Porth. Last fall, Joe vehemently disagreed with my contention that the Preds achieved success in spite of Poile rather than because of him. Any change in that position after this season?" This coming from George on the text line. Joe, so is there any change?
What, I mean, is that how you remember it?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't remember it all, but yeah,
nah,
sure.
Yeah, that's not accurate.
Like, we can't say that. Go check the tape. We'll check the tape.
Well, it's not accurate that I was 100%. I mean, I think that there's good and bad you can say about David Poile. We've done it a million times, but, I mean, the David Poile's cold streak as I got thousands of words I've written about it over the years if you want me to send you some links. The cold streak started with the Kyle Turris move.
Yep.
And it started after the Stanley Cup final run. This is all well documented. So no, a year ago, there's no way I said, oh, no, there's nothing to do with Poile. Of course. My whole thing now, and I'm glad we're getting to this because I need to ask you about this, Ryan Porth.
Okay.
Is that I think one thing that's happened on this station is that we've obscured the actual issue, which is the direction of the franchise, David Poile, where things are going, what has been done, who's building the team, who's getting them out of this, and we're obscuring it by talking about the coaching, in my opinion. I think the coaching's been just fine, but I'd like your opinion on John Hines.
Well, I think John Hines has been fine. I don't think he's a great head coach. I think his resume, especially in the playoffs, proves that. I think a lot of the issue for, I mean, look at what John Hines was the pieces that he was picking up after he took over for Peter Laviolette. I mean, this team was just spiraling, and then he had COVID, and then or he dealt with the COVID shortened season right away, and then you have this weird season last year where you're only playing the division. So this was his first full season as the head coach. And obviously, honestly, they did better this season than I expected, probably better than you guys expected. I mean, their preseason point total in the sports books was like 83.5, and they shot way past that. I think there's a limited ceiling with John Hines, but he's also been dealt with a roster that has gone through a ton of turnover because of the bad trades or contracts that David Poile has orchestrated in the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know, that's a tough position for any coach if they're dealt with a hand like that time and time again. Like, I don't know why they gave up a second round pick for Jeremy Lauzon.
I don't either.
Like, I don't see it with him. I might be wrong. I don't see it with him. But again, that's a second round pick, a valuable asset for this franchise. Maybe he turns into a good third pair defenseman. I don't see that with him. He's still young. He could still grow into that. you know, you go through the history of the trade deadline trades where they gave up first-round picks or valuable assets. Again, I think all of that is contributing why we said last segment that this team just feels like they're stuck. And you brought up the Blues and Avalanche, Joe, last segment. And I think the Blues are a good example of what I think David Poile should be looking for this offseason, not to go out and spend a ton of money in free agency, but like they made that trade for Pavel Buchnevich, and he came in and he scored 30 goals for them. He was exactly what the doctor ordered for them, and he was a reason why the Blues went from getting swept by Colorado in round one to becoming a team to be reckoned with in the playoffs, and a team that I think will give Colorado all they can handle in round two. Now, that may result in 5 or 6 games, but it could also go 7, because St. Louis, I think, is a well-built playoff hockey team, but last year you couldn't say that about them. And they went out and made some really smart transactions that resulted in this. Do the Preds have that in them, especially if they're able to re-sign Philip Forsberg?
Does David Poile have it in him? I mean, well, that's the question.
I don't trust that right now.
That's the question, and it's one of those things, too. I talked about not having those elite guys at forward, and the Predators, they're not just going to magically have one of those guys next year. Like, you can talk about prospects, and you know, they had a couple first-round picks last year, and Luke Evangelista lit it up in the OHL. All that's fine. I just don't know that they have elite guys. So if you're not going to have elite forwards, you have to do it by depth. And St. Louis has 9 guys that scored 20 goals this year. That's how you do it, is your power play is really good, which the Predators is, and you have depth that can score and you can match up with different lines. And I keep going back to this. This is why it's so important to find some top 6 forwards this offseason. Ryan Johansson was in no man's land this year. He still put up 63 points. He was great on the power play, but he was playing with 2 anchors next to him in Luke Kunin and Elli Tolvanen, and that can't happen. Like, you got to go, in my opinion, especially getting Forsberg back. That's obviously part of this. But you got to go find some top 6 forwards. And the more I think about it, the more I'd like to go see him find a couple of them. Because I don't think they're one guy away from being competitive in the playoffs.
I agree.
And maybe you sign one and then trade for one.
Yeah.
Like what the Blues did with Buchnevich, and then they signed Brandon Saad.
So we're talking about what's actually important. And not the coaching. Again, it's just a waste of time to me. And, you know, your point on Hines in the playoff series, like, you're right. He hasn't had success. But, I mean, I guess that's what people were saying about Barry Trotz early in his career with the Preds, right? I mean, like,
well,
if you don't
Drexler
have –
compared Hines to Bill Belichick the other day. So.
I saw that on Twitter.
Oh, good God. No, but if you don't have the goods – I mean, no, they weren't – the Devils were never going to compete in that series. And so far, except for the Arizona bubble, and I will give you that on Hines. Like that's a mark on the resume. But like,
but
he
could
hasn't,
they, but,
he hasn't
but
had
could
a
they,
chance.
But would you agree that they could improve behind the bench?
Sure. I'm not. Again, we've said this. Like, hey, Trotz wants to come back. There you go. Sure. I mean, I think that's easy.
Would you bring in Peter DeBoer?
You know, I don't think I would. Would you?
It's close. I mean, he's gotten 2 different organizations to the Cup final. So the history, his history is more impressive than John Hines is. There's no question about it.
Yes.
Now,
John Hines is still young in his career. I mean, I sound like his agent, you know, but you guys are making this happen. You're making me do this.
What did I do?
Well, not you guys, but, you know, other people.
Okay.
Who shall go unnamed.
We'll continue the conversation. Take more of your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Some more thoughts coming up on the Preds. And then Ryan Porth wants to yell at Joe Rexroad about the Titans a little bit, too. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5-106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5-106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Sounds take on the Louisville Bats, the AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds, coming up this Sunday. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on the Bats coming up at First Horizon Park this Sunday.
I bet the Bats are better than the Reds.
It's a decent chance. I think that they could get a game or two from them.
That took a second to understand where you went with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Shout out to the Reds.
Shout out to Louisville. Also, are the Chicago Wolves better than the Blackhawks? Are they more...
I'm sure their games are more fun to go to.
I mean, they used to be more attended.
They're cheaper.
And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, we love hockey in Chicago for... And now they just don't... They don't know.
Yeah, they don't care about hockey. Our station, 670 The Score in Chicago, the only time since I started there on January 3rd, the only time our station talked about the Blackhawks is when Rocky Wirtz attacked the media in their little town hall meeting that was just a horrible idea.
Why don't you guys get some box scores in the newspaper the next morning? It's 1974! Good job, Rocky Wirtz. Really brilliant guy there.
It's going to be great when they trade Taze and Kane away, too, coming up. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. Good stuff. Great times in Chicago. Yeah,
it's tough to see, you know?
Really.
Blackhawks fans up there are like, are they going to hire Barry Trotz?
I don't think Trotz
is going to the Blackhawks. Sorry to break it to you.
Where is he going? Where is Barry Trotz next year?
I was texting people yesterday. I mean, Vegas feels like a perfect fit for Barry Trotz. Where that franchise is right now. You know, they're clearly in win now mode, and Barry Trotz can go there and win now.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Plus, I can see Trotz in Vegas soaking up the sun out there.
Yeah, I can too. There's this idea about Winnipeg, which I mean, I understand he's from there, but it's like they're not close to winning.
They're in tough shape right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Vegas makes a lot of sense for Trotzy.
Remember during that – the microphone just randomly moved on me. Remember that Predators-Jets series where we were like, oh, yeah, this is the future
for years
of the Central Division.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Oops. That didn't go very well.
It was a very good series.
It was.
One time.
Ryan Porth, you would like to discuss the A.J. Brown situation with Joe Rexroad. A.J. Brown traded from from the Titans to Philadelphia, and Joe Rexroad was very passionate in the immediate aftermath of that trade.
I know he was.
What did you make of all that?
So I've got a couple things in mind with this. First of all, I want to ask you guys, the video that emerged from NFL Network's draft coverage where Vrabel leaves the table and goes and walks into the corner for like 5 seconds and then comes back. Was there ever a thought from listeners or you guys? I'm asking honestly, was there ever a thought that maybe he wasn't mad at John Robinson because that was the narrative of that video and that maybe he was mad at the situation and AJ Brown for letting it get to the point where they traded him?
Well, I didn't necessarily take that as mad at John Robinson.
I'm not saying you did, but that was right when that video came out. That's where everybody on Twitter went. Everybody on Titans Twitter went to, Vrabel's mad at, J-Rob for trading A.J. Brown.
I just took it as it was a punch to the gut. Yeah. However it all came about, he was there the whole way. So it's not like he's sitting there and he's like, wait, you traded AJ Brown? What? Like, he knew what was going on, right? I mean, so that's a stupid Twitter. I didn't realize that was all of Titans Twitter.
There's a lot of that.
It was most of Titans Twitter.
I mean, think about it. He was there. This is another – so thank you for shedding light on this because, no. I mean, he was upset by the situation. But he was involved in it.
Right.
Like
he couldn't have been surprised
by
it.
Okay, so what are we doing at 26? Wait, what'd you do? What did you do, John? And he walks away from the table?
Because that's everything that I saw on Titans Twitter.
Well, think how stupid that is.
Well, Twitter sometimes can be stupid.
Yeah. But, I think it was, maybe mad at AJ, mad at John, maybe mad at himself.
I read the video and then the press conference shortly thereafter when they trade Brown and draft Burks that it came across to me that Vrabel, knowing how much he loves the players and the relationship that they developed with AJ Brown and how important he was, that it read to me like he was upset at AJ for basically becoming a diva and forcing his way out to get the contract that he wanted.
So if the Eagles. You want to get paid, you're a diva now? You want to get paid fairly for your work, you're a diva?
His Twitter game is a little deep.
Yes.
His Twitter game is
he
weird.
He quickly became diva-ish through social media. And then
by the way, he tweeted an hour ago. It's still up.
Yeah. Shocking. Oh. What did he tweet?
It says, when you're uncommon, get ready for the common people to not understand you. It's still up.
I didn't know he had any tweets left because I thought he deleted them all.
Wow.
He's a weird tweeter and an excessive tweeter. No doubt.
All right. So I just wanted to ask that question because I didn't know what the direction was with the reaction to that, because that felt like that was like this huge thing, like blown way out of proportion. Anyway.
Well, and look, real quick, I think that he was upset about the whole thing. I mean, remember, he went so far as to say, not as long as I'm the coach. You know, so until I would say real late, in his mind, there's no way as this is happening, and then it happens. But again, I'm just saying, like, for the previous day or whatever it was, he was involved in all of this. Right? He knew what was going on. But, look at the demeanor in the presser. Vrabel was post-devastating loss Vrabel.
He was.
In that presser.
Yes.
100%. So
I think that's how a lot of the fan base felt.
So I took it as mad at everything.
Right.
Mad at felt how like it turned out.
The Titans were hit with a sledgehammer that night.
Right.
Just completely out of the blue.
As
anyway,
they should have felt.
Right,
but apparently you think they should feel like, yay!
I disagree with your column.
Okay.
I disagree with your column that came out that next morning.
Okay.
Where you said that trade is going to end up being John Robinson's biggest mistake as Titans GM.
It will haunt him.
I disagree with that. Because I don't think...
All right, good segment, everybody. I disagree with you.
Yes.
Wrong!
Because I don't think AJ's contract is going to age well.
Yeah.
I had concerns about paying him top dollar. As much as I've loved AJ Brown in a Titans uniform, I had real concerns with how his body was starting to break down at the end of the 2020 season, and then he started leaving games early last season, missing some games. When he was, you know, close to full health and playing, he was great. He was phenomenal. And he was the biggest reason why they were even in that game against the Bengals, you know, bailing Tannehill's rear end out in that game up until Tannehill just couldn't help himself. I don't even know why I went down that road with Tannehill.
It's opening some
fresh
wounds for you.
I did that to myself. I talked about PTSD. But I don't think that contract is going to age well for AJ Brown. And I think he's going to go to Philly maybe the first year or two. He lights it up with his boy Jalen Hurts, but I think with each passing year, that body is just going to, with the physical nature that he plays at wide receiver, I think that contract by year three or year four is going to look bad.
Well, you know something there that I, it might, you know something there that I, when in the immediate aftermath, thought about, and it's Jalen Hurts as the quarterback. Like I don't think he's that good. So I think production-wise, everybody's going to expect with the money that A.J. Brown's making now for him to go into Philly and put up 1,400 yards and put up 12 touchdowns a year and to be available for those games, and that's a different discussion. But, I mean, Jalen Hurts last year, 61% completion percentage, 7.3 in attempt, 16 touchdowns, 9 picks. Like, I don't think Jalen Hurts is that good.
I don't either, and that could be a problem for A.J. But I'm more concerned about the Titans' perspective on this. And from the Titans' perspective, they now have a defense that's pretty salty.
Yep.
Defense that could take you places. An offense with an unsettled offensive line with heavy reliance on a rookie that you were drafting to replace A.J. Brown. You know, with Robert Woods, which is a nice addition. With Derrick Henry, not sure how much he had. Like, I think this season has to be considered part of the window that they've been in. And they just had a draft that did not address it like it's part of the window. They just looked forward at the draft. Now, granted,
I think that's fair.
Tough spot with AJ, but I think the regret is going to be that they're going to start going the wrong way this year.
I think that is fair because everyone's going to look at Burks and just automatically expect him to reach the bar that AJ Brown set in these last three seasons. You have to look at Burks this year as what A.J. Brown was as a rookie.
It's so
unlikely.
And if
you get any more than that, that's just gravy. I mean, it's going to be a great case study 3 or 4 years from now to look back on the Packers trading Devontae Adams, the Chiefs trading Tyreek Hill, and the Titans trading A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
That those three teams did not want to pay their number one receiver that kind of money with the market resetting at that position now. Like, are the Packers... Sorry, Robbie. But, like, are the Packers still going to be that Super Bowl contender without
Jeremy
Devontae?
Fowler just put him as their favorite on the ESPN.
Oh, well, all right.
I don't see that.
The Chiefs.
There's a slight difference between the Packers and Titans at quarterback, but yes.
You were talking about how the Chiefs probably won't repeat as division champs. I mean, especially now that they don't have Tyreek Hill in that division.
Yeah.
And the Titans, I think, are going to struggle to repeat as division champs without AJ.
So, in other words, you're wrong. Good.
But.
Segment over.
You can't pay him that kind of money if it's going to be an anchor on your salary cap starting in 2023. If his body continues to go downhill like it has each of the last 2 years.
We'll continue this discussion coming up next. Joe Rexroad never lets me go to break. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. Get more of your thoughts on the Titans as well. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You got to have some concern because Sambayo did a good job and he was kind of next in line, and now they're in a tougher spot from a depth standpoint. So it's put them in quite a bind. And
Joe Rexroad recovering from whatever just happened to Joe Rexroad. I think you may be unplugged as well. So. There we go.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Hey, Ladarius, unplug me. That was good. So did we hear the crash though? So I just broke a chair here. I apologize.
Oh, one of the great moments here in the history of Robbie and Rexroad. I think one of my favorite parts of the moments was Porth walking into Pete and Terry's at that time and just losing it. Just laughing. Basically
the rest of
the show.
Yeah. The hyena laugh.
I was under the Music City Center when that happened, and I just hear that loud crash.
What was that?
And I'm thinking to myself, what was that? And then I get in there, and the folding chair is just eviscerated.
I'm kind of sad that you didn't get to see it.
Also, I know.
Well, that'll forever, like, we'll always remember that for talking about Tyson Brailo.
That was the worst timing ever to have a guest for video streaming purposes.
It really was.
I think I'm the only one who actually saw it because I saw your faces on the Zoom.
Yeah.
And then Joe's head just go away.
It just burned into your, it's only like somewhere in your brain is the image of that. But like, you know, like in the future, we could probably extract that from your brain, but we can't now, thank God.
It was amazing. Any other thoughts on A.J. Brown that you two want to wrestle through, or do we get to Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis?
We got to that Porth is wrong. Good. Thank you.
Well, I just don't think that's going to be John Robinson's worst move ever, like you are predicting that it will be.
Got a texture that says, we're only replacing a 60-catch-a-year receiver. Remove the name, and that's all he ever was. It's coming from a texture on the text line.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then
no big deal.
Looked at box scores.
Yeah.
I don't think it gets worse than the Julio move. I just don't. You had to kick back Tannehill's contract, and you can't get out of that now for an additional year. You gave up the second-round pick. I mean, it was – and he didn't produce. So I don't think it gets worse than the Julio trade for John Robinson.
So here's – I think you've hit on something there that I feel really passionately about, and people are welcome to disagree with me. As a fan of a team, especially when you're in certain phases, okay? I can live with go-for-it moves that go wrong because, damn it, you tried. And that was an absolute go-for-it move. So was Clowney. And in hindsight, terrible moves. This was a, it doesn't work out. Let's see what we can do. It was a non-go-for-it move. That's why I hate it from the start. And you may be right. A.J. Brown may fall apart physically, and that's possible. I think that's the biggest concern with him. Traylon Burks may be great. There's a lot of ways this could go.
Sure.
But that move at the moment when Clowney happened, when I tried to explain this to Jared, like in the moment, let's not go hindsight. And look, credit to him or whoever didn't like him in the moment. But to me, if I'm a fan of the Titans, I am happy that my GM is willing to go on a limb and try to bring it to the top when you're trying to win a freaking Lombardi, okay? That is the whole point of this. It's not extend your own career in Nashville another 5 years because you don't suck for a bunch of years. No, I want you to go for the Lombardi. So that's my – and this was you are stepping back next year, period. So you're right that the deal may age poorly. But you pay your guaranteed money, and you know how the NFL works, and then And then you can get out of these things. It's not like you're going to sit there the duration of the deal and keep paying him $25 million a year, right?
Sure, but are you going to get more than 14 games out of A.J. Brown, more than 13 moving forward? I mean, some of the games that he played last year that you look at his you know, you go to Pro Football Reference and you look at the amount of games that he played, what did he leave, like two or three games early and didn't come back?
Yep. Yeah.
So,
and if it was one thing, then I'd be more concerned by that. But, I mean, until he proves it, he has to prove it. I mean, but it's been various things, which makes me feel a little better about it for him moving forward. But we'll see.
What do you make of the Malik Willis pick? Obviously, you've talked about Ryan Tannehill, and that's been –
right, that's been all Titans fans been talking about for the last 6 months. Ryan Tannehill.
I will never forgive Ryan Tannehill for that Saturday evening against Cincinnati. I will never forgive him for that.
I don't think unless you're alone.
Unless he just randomly takes the Titans to the Super Bowl this year, I will never forgive him
randomly.
For that. I mean, it would be kind of random for them to make it to the Super Bowl in this AFC. Yes, it would.
Random Ryan taking it to the Super Bowl.
I loved the Malik Willis pick because they didn't spend, what was it, the 35th overall pick that they went into round two with.
Yep.
I love that they didn't even have to spend that pick on him. They spent a third round pick on him. They didn't, you know, roll the dice with Luke Falk or whatever other sixth round pick they've spent on a quarterback in years gone by that didn't even make it to week one of the regular season. I loved it. Who knows how Malik Willis is going to pan out? I mean, by all accounts, you know, he's looked good so far here in the last couple of weeks. I don't think that really means a whole lot, but I do kind of like his moxie. I do kind of like the fact that the deep ball that he throws can be pretty accurate.
Yep.
I think that kid has a lot of potential, and it's been a long time. Really, since Marcus Mariota, since they've had a young quarterback that you feel like they have that much potential, but he can sit a year, which has proven to be a really good thing for a lot of quarterbacks, including Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, where they had that redshirt year and it panned out significantly for them.
So let me ask you both this, because Joe, you brought this up a few times, and I think it's a really interesting discussion. Ryan Tannehill, he's going to be the starting quarterback this year. There's a scenario where he's the starting quarterback next year, too. And
it's more likely than anything else.
And Malik Willis, you know, we'll see how he develops and how he comes along. But there's a reason he slid to the third round. It's because most teams feel like he's not ready right now. So outside of just purely the Malik Willis part of this, because we're not going to know, I don't think, how he develops this year. Because I don't think we're going to see him in a game. I think we may see packages for him here and there, but I don't think we're going to see him in a game. What does Ryan Tannehill have to do this year to convince you that he should be the starter in 2023? Is there anything he can do? Because I think for Titans,
of course there is.
Well, I think for some Titan fans, there's not outside of winning a Super Bowl.
So if he plays like he did in 2019 and 2020,
if they don't win the Super Bowl, I guarantee you we will get calls and text about how it's time to move on from Ryan Tannehill.
Well, I mean, we also get calls and texts that, you know, like I live on Saturn's third ring and I'm just visiting today to go to a Titans game.
There is that.
I mean, if he plays like that 2019 and 2020, let's say he wins a playoff game. I mean, cause I think the playoff game performance, that's very fair.
Yeah, it's very important.
Very, very fair. But let's say that happens. He has a bounce back big year and they win like a playoff game. And then they you know, lose the next game and he plays okay. I mean, isn't that a slam dunk? Of course he's your quarterback in 2023. No?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
I mean, look, I get that people then would say, okay, now Malik's had his redshirt year. The unknown is undefeated, so I get that. But, I mean, I certainly think the Titans, he would still be under contract here. The Titans would bring him back.
Playoff result or not, if he plays like he did in 2020, I think he's back as the week one starter in 2023. If he doesn't get any better or even gets worse, that's when the noise is going to get even louder.
And you know,
on September 11th when they host the Giants, if he throws a pick in the first half,
absolutely.
Everybody's thought is immediately going to go to Malik Willis, fair or not.
Wow.
And
I thought you were going to say they're going to boo him.
They're going to boo him when he's introduced probably.
They're definitely going defense. They're definitely
Jeffrey Simmons. Yes. and quarterback Ryan.
But you know, there's the faction of Titans Twitter and the text line that's going to be going after Ryan Tannehill, no matter what he says, no matter what he does on the field. I think he's got to be 2020 Ryan Tannehill for him to be back in 2023. If it's 2021 again, even I as a fan would not want that.
And the hard part for Tannehill is that I'm not sure this offensive line is going to be better, and A.J. Brown's gone.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so he's going to have to actually play well above 2020 Tannehill to be 2020 Tannehill.
Yeah. We agree on that? I think that's a good point. Ryan and Wolf? I don't know how he's going to fare with the bullseye on his back.
Yeah, that's a great question, because it's certainly going to be on his back this year. Ryan Porth, this has been fun. What have you been up to? What are you working on?
Well, 670 Score is owned by Odyssey, which is one of the big corporate radio companies in this country, and they've developed a lot of new podcasts across Odyssey, and one of them is the Beat the Streak Daily podcast that I produce. So if anybody on MLB.com, or now it's on the MLB Play app on your phone, if you've ever played Beat the Streak, myself as the producer and then the host, Matt Spiegel, who's the co-host of Parkins and Spiegel, every afternoon on 670 The Score. We have a lot of fun every single weekday. It's like a 10 to 15 minute podcast looking at Beat the Streak, looking at hitting across Major League Baseball. And if somebody builds a hitting streak, a virtual hitting streak, up to 57 games, you win $5.6 million because you beat Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. It's never happened. The game has been around for 20 years. The closest anyone has ever gotten is 51. So, you know, the season high this year has been 38. That streak has ended. The season high last year was 41. The season high, if you have that number, you get 10 grand. So it's a fun, different fantasy game that you can play where you pick a different player or two players each day to get a hit. And if you build it up long enough, you can win some money. So we talk about that. We talk about hitting across Major League Baseball. It's the Beat the Streak Daily Inside the Hits podcast.
Awesome. Before you go, you better give a shout out to Brooklyn Marie.
Yeah.
Yes. Brooklyn Marie, 3 months yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's right.
Dad life for 3 months has been quite interesting, but in a great way.
More. Absolutely. So does dad life bring more dad jokes? I know we got to go to break. I don't want any of your dad jokes. I just asked you about
You
dad
don't
jokes.
Want any of my dad jokes?
Leave them on the text line.
That's a slap in the face.
Ryan Porth, this has been fun. Good to catch up with you, my
great
man.
Great catching up with you guys. Good to see you.
Absolutely. Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.